There is one thing about this game that drove me absolutely crazy. Those clouds.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 173. And last week we had a guest on the show by the name of Gemma. She's known online as the Gebs24, and she was an absolutely wonderful guest. It made for a great episode all about the PlayStation game Casper. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to that episode. Like, press pause, go listen to that episode instead. It'll probably be better anyways.
Now that you're back and listen to that episode, you know how awesome she is.
Don't well you done. Love Gemma? That was really good. But they have like a tight window to hit that pause button. No.
Yeah, if you missed it the first time, well, too bad we're not giving you another opportunity.
And then here at the start, we have some big news other than last week's episode was big. If you aren't in Discord, if you don't support us on Patreon, if you don't follow us on any social media,
What's wrong with you?
Listen to our podcast. First of all, get a life. Second of all, we have a brand new website.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, if websites are your thing, like you like websites, then this is a good one for you to check out.
If it's
your
hobby. If you've ever been on the internet, then you should go to this website.
What's the web address, Kenny?
It's https://.
Got to keep that thing protected.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, say it. He forgot.
Stuck in a loop.
He's covering it with a loop. Nolan, you want to
take it away? It's ngppodcast.com. Very simple.
You might need a www in there as well,
no.
But yeah, it's the same address as it's always been, ngppodcast.com, but now it's completely updated. Our friend Hookshot, who does our graphics and just tons of our anything that looks incredible, is Hookshot.
Yeah.
And so you can find his information at the bottom of our page, but you can listen to every episode there. You can see our About Us section. You can obviously talk about the most important thing of the week, Oxford commas, for some reason.
Yeah, that was a hot topic for sure.
But do go check out our new web space, ngppodcast.com. Now, one piece of interesting gaming news here at the start, actually retro-related before we get to our episode proper.
Hit me.
A YouTuber by the name of Archon1981 put up a video a couple days ago sharing a lost NES title that he recently bought off a former Nintendo employee.
So
this is a game that was never released, but it was in development. In fact, it had been developed by Sega. You might recognize that name because they created the Wizard of Oz game that we played a few episodes back.
Oh, that's who it was.
Okay.
Okay, but it's a wrestling game called UWC, which is Universal Wrestling Corporation, and they were only UWC for like a year before they became WWF.
Is that why the game was canceled?
I don't know. It never got published. It only got developed, and then it was sent to like Nintendo of America for testing. And one of the testers still had the cartridge that sold it to this YouTuber.
Oh wow! Crazy. So only copy.
Well, as far as we know, but this YouTuber said he's not like going to keep it and like try to, you know, profit off of it. He's going to figure out how, but then he's going to put up the ROM for other people to play. And in his video, he played about 15 minutes of the game so that you could see it. Actually, it looks like a pretty good little title. I don't know. He doesn't know any more information about it, but super interesting that there are lost games like that.
That kind of makes
crazy.
You think what else is out there. Like, are there other games by PlayStation employees or Nintendo employees that just have copies of things that no one knows about?
It's not the same, but sort of the same. and the flip side of the coin, but it makes me really sad to think of how many games are out there that become lost. Old PC titles that stuff isn't, you know, kept, and just the life of games is really interesting to me.
Yeah. And I think we're getting to the point, hopefully, where they're going to be preserved better.
Digital age.
But there's definitely tons of games out there where there's just a small amount of games that were produced in the first place. And so if you don't have one of those, I mean, like, you can pay mega bucks for another copy, but you can't you can't get a new one or anything like that. But this game lost in the sense that never came out. I just think that's super cool to be able to have a piece like that. That's so rare.
Does it have art and everything?
No, the cartridge is actually blank. It's a blank cartridge, and it's got an open slot on it that looks like you can, I don't know. It's a NES cartridge, but it's definitely a test cartridge. No, it doesn't take quarters. In the game, none of us are wrestling fans. Nolan, were you a little bit?
No way.
Okay.
No.
In this one, I mean, was she really?
My wife was, yeah.
There are some key characters like Ric Flair, Sting, and even the Legion of Doom, which I'm not using as a segue because that's too easy.
Okay. All right.
But if you're into wrestling, if you're into rare, lost video games, indulge your fantasy and wrestle with some of the greatest stars three world has ever known. Like in our retro game of the week, Fantasy Star 3 Generations of Doom.
You should have done the first one.
Overview.
Fantasy Star 3 Generations of Doom, which might be the longest title we've ever played, and I have to include the Generations of Doom. Like, I try not, when we put up these episodes, I try not to include the things like the subtitles, but
no, that's the name.
When it's colon subtitle, like, they have it as a part of the name, I've got to.
Also, any excuse you have to get to say Generations of Doom, like, would you really want to pass that up?
It's a metal band name for sure.
Yeah. Like, you're a cooler person every time you get to say that.
PS3 GOD is is a JRPG, which, for those of you that are just coming to the world of gaming, that is a role-playing game made in Japan. It was developed and published by Sega in the year 1990 over in Japan, came over to July and the UK, where Gemma lives, in 1991. So that makes it on the Mega Drive and the Sega Genesis as its primary and home consoles. You'll hear throughout, I don't believe that Nolan Kinney nor I had played the series before, and we had limited understanding of what this series was, but we did some digging this week. Fantasy Star 3 is kind of just known to be the black sheep of the Fantasy Star series.
Yeah, no one acknowledges it.
Well, and it's got some mixed reviews, but largely the rest of the series, raving reviews, this one, just a totally different angle on it, and you'll hear some of that.
Well, apparently it's more of a side game, and I think it was kind of rushed. Like, there wasn't a lot of time in between 2 and 3. And
Like development,
like maybe a year. And so it's like, what? And also, let me just say, I'm complete noob. You said in your first play, Dustin, that you've heard of this series.
Sure.
No, never. I had no idea Sega both developed and published a JRPG series called Fantasy Star.
And this one on the Genesis, and you're the Genesis boy.
Exactly. Yeah, right. So I should know this, but all news to me.
Never heard of it. And Kenny, no experience, no knowledge, or what?
I didn't know the early ones. I'm pretty sure, as like every series goes later, I'm pretty sure there's Fantasy Star games later on that are like, I'm talking like Nintendo 64 era, and maybe I'm getting it confused with another game, but that's like kind of open world MMO style, way further down the line version of this series, but that doesn't even really count at all. And so I was not familiar with the early titles in this series, if I've even got that straight.
The series began in the late 80s. And the games have this varying degree of a mixture between sci-fi and fantasy. Like some of them super sci-fi with like cyborgs, robots, space travel. And then you've got others that have like these huge fantasy mixes. And so you've got, you know, short swords and long swords, and you've got like these creature, these like fantasy creatures, and it's set in medieval realms and different things like that. In this one, it's got that same kind of mixture. I thought I was playing a fantasy game, and then I go to a town and they ask me to find a cyborg, and I'm like, okay, so there's some kind of mixture going on here. Just kind of throwing that out there, let me set the story or tell you just a little bit of the plot. Won't go deep into it, but the story is unique here, and in the sense that it takes place over three generations. I don't know if there's another game like that, and I'd be surprised if any of us got through all three generations this week. Somewhat surprised if we even got to the second one, because it takes some time. But it begins with your character named Rice. R-H-Y-S.
Reese's?
Rice's
Pieces?
And Pisces? All the names get harder to pronounce from there.
Yeah, they do.
And he's the prince of the Orichian kingdom, and the Orichian kingdom and the Leyan kingdom used to be at war. I believe the Leyan kingdom is like a magic kingdom or something, but they're deceased, or so everyone thinks. It's Reese's, it's his wedding day, and he's getting married to a girl that he just met, and you just know the way they're setting it up that nothing's going to go wrong, but then it takes a complete turn for the worst, and throws you completely off your game. Your wife is stolen by some kind of evil creature, and then Rice is punished and sent to jail by his dad. What?
Ridiculous plot device.
Oh, the whole thing. And you break out of jail. And then from there, it's just one ridiculous thing to the next. I guess at first you're trying to save your wife. But here's the key thing. Throughout, I said it's three generations. At some point, and we can talk more about this in gameplay, you as Rice decide who you're going to marry. And then from there, you play their child. And then that happens one more time. And you play huge chunks of this game as different lead characters, but of the same lineage.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Not only does your character get to make these choices about kind of who to marry, and then, you know, like you get to play as the child, but then when you do, the way that character plays is different based on who your parents were. So if you like marry one person versus if you marry another person, you get a whole different set of kind of skills and abilities that you get to play in that second and third generation of characters, which means ultimately you can like play this game four different times to do four different like routes of play in order to play everybody. And then you even get slightly different endings at the end based on that. And so it'd be unfair to say, hey, your characters are different because they play differently without talking about how this game plays a little bit. So why don't we get into that?
Gameplay. So this is where things begin to go south.
What, the gameplay?
Here at the very beginning.
No, you're right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Where to start?
I got you. Okay. So JRPG, if you're not familiar, you are controlling a anime-looking character that doesn't look anime from top-down view, and you're in towns, you're in overworld, and you have battles that, like, what are those called? Like, random encounters, and then a new screen pops up, and you have your UI. So that kind of JRPG, if you didn't know. That's the type of gameplay it is. Now, say what you were going to say, Dustin.
All of those things, it checks off of those boxes,
right?
But right. Like just barely. Yeah. Like it's like, okay, so we have to have anime looking characters. Let's draw stereotypical characters.
Blue hair.
Yeah, right, but not hair. Only that, I feel like it's, you know, the difference between Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII graphics?
Yes.
How Final Fantasy VII is not the best. Let's do VI and VIII. VI, you've got like the stereotypical JRPG chibi, kind of like cute,
yeah,
small, but very well developed graphics, whatever. And then 8, you've got this attempt to be realistic,
right.
and it doesn't really work. Here, it's this weird mixture of character design, but also character handling. Like, there's no even like corner movement. It's only the 4 move up, down, left, and right.
Yeah, it's not 8-bit.
I do like the character pictures, like in your menu, mm-hmm. but that's the only thing in the menu that I like.
No, that's a good description of like 8 trying to go realistic. This was them trying to do like a more realistic top down kind of thing, which doesn't fit. It just doesn't work. So like, yeah, I really missed the super chibi pixelated sprites. Well,
and here's the weird thing in. Again, I haven't played it, so I might be off on some of this information, but in Phantasy Star 2, in your battles, the characters are animated. You can see your characters on the screen during your battle sequences, and you've got a little like fighting menu very comparable to other JRPGs.
Right.
In Phantasy Star 3, you've got neither of those. you don't see your character. You only see the enemies, very little attack animations, and then you've got the most abhorrent, evil, malicious, disgusting, puke, like, yeah. Of a menu that wow. you're looking at and trying to toggle with. Can we just talk about the fight menu? Wait, I know we got there very quickly.
Do you disagree, Kenny?
Oh, no. Like, oh, okay. I don't think they implemented it super well, but I was okay with at least what they were trying to do.
Can you explain what they were trying to do? Because here's the thing. I still don't know what the bottom left square and the top left square do, or how they're different. They look similar.
Yeah. So, okay. So
first describe what we're looking at, Ken.
Yeah. First, let me talk you through the UI.
A wind up.
Or at least what I think happened when they were designing the UI. Let's be novel. And instead of, and there's something to this, instead of like written out text that describes everything that you need to do, let's kind of lean on like iconography, you know,
okay,
like,
yeah,
if you're going to attack, let's put a little picture of a sword, and you know, if you need an item, let's put a little picture of like a chest opening up, and like it kind of makes sense. It makes it easy as you're doing, you know, internationalization and selling your game. It's kind of clear to everybody what you're doing, and it's like they did that, but like barely, in a really basic way. And then they had that menu, and then they were like, wait, you know what would make this game even better is if instead of having to make choices ever, we let people just hit a single button to toggle an autopilot so that they didn't actually have to fight at all and your characters would just fight for you. And let's make that a really big deal and give it 2 giant icons that are kind of cheesy and not thought out and push all those other tiny little icons into 1 mini sub menu of icons. And then also let's give you the option to run away and make that look cheesy as well.
I threw up when you described that. So see, like, I still don't know. So
no, it's
the wind up. Let me describe the picture. okay. A football goal on its side with a 8 attached to it. So it looks like a wind up toy to me.
Yeah, which is what they were going for. They're going for like automation. Yes.
No, we can hold on. Here all day. Don't move on.
Listen, we don't like looking at it, they're definitely not going to like us just sitting here trying to describe it to someone who hasn't seen it.
I threw up again.
It's really, really ugly. But it is a wind up toy. And then right below it is a wind up toy and the number 1. So this is what I think. And I think that I've got it down. The wind up with the 1, and that's what it's preset to when you go into a battle. That is auto battle for 1 round.
For 1 round, yeah.
But you don't get to choose who you're attacking, what of your party is doing what.
Well, no, it's
everyone's
auto
doing
battle.
The same thing. Well, don't make that excuse. That's the only option. It's not like you can manual battle.
Yeah, you can. You just got to sub-menu into that other sub-menu.
No. I think that's where you're confused. I think you can go into that menu. That's just setting what you're going to do in the battle. You can only set... So in that sub-menu... Oh, man. People are not going to like this episode. You can choose your sword, your item, or a technique, or defend. Those are the 4 options there. And then after you select it, that just presets what you're... party is going to be doing in that round.
Oh, I guess I was so autopilot into autopiloting that even when I messed with those, I felt like I was explicitly like doing the control. It does give you, if you want, that level of granularity, but it hides it in so many levels that nobody is going to play this game and not just hit auto fight every time, which could be a cool, like, some games are really grindy.
Okay.
Yes, if I'm just going to hit A over and over and over again, like, give me an option to, like, auto A and toggle it off or something. But for that to be the primary fight mechanism and Final for Fantasy it to be, 13. Like, the default, it totally removes you from feeling any kind of connection to what's going on in the battle at all. It's almost like you're watching somebody else play the game.
You can do it right. They could not do it right, and they did not do it right. The battle, however, and we're staying here for a while. Here's the thing, though. You are in a lot of battles, so it's kind of fair for us to spend a little bit of time on this because the random battle, like, percentages, like, whatever the algorithm is there is entirely too high because you are getting in so many battles. You're walking so slowly. Like Nolan described JRPGs well. You're in a town, you are in a castle, you do something, and then you walk on a world map to a new location. As you're doing that, you're getting into battles. And then in this game, in JRPGs, they're like, hey, let's throw in a dungeon or let's throw in a cave. And in those areas, you're getting in battles. But the setup of all of these different locations is what's ununique, not new yeek, not unique,
not new yeek.
Not unique. They are so uninspired. They are identical to one another. The towns, every single town looks the exact same.
Great.
Save for the buildings are in slightly different locations. No, you've got the same building there, but instead of an inn, it is a weapon shop. Or instead of a, like a healing place, it is an armor shop. But other than that, exact same textures, exact same colors, exact same building. It's absolutely uninspired. And then not only with the towns, but with the caves and the different dungeons and different places you are, they are all identical.
Well, let me talk about the cave aspect, because at least it gives you a break from how bad all that is and gives you some fun puzzles to solve. It doesn't do that. You just walk
from it.
Straight down
and slow,
left.
And slow and slow.
Oh, you know what's cool? If we made it so that their party would follow the main character around. Pokemon can't do it. We'll do it. Okay.
They
looked in the future and saw Pokemon didn't do that. So then they do that, but that's not cool. I want to walk faster. I don't want to see my party. So the caves and the dungeons are pointless to me. You literally just walk more.
Well, and you need a map. Thankfully, I found a website, and they've got a map of every single one of the locations, so you're not wasting your time.
What about the in-game
I don't know if
map?
I've said it yet. You're walking so slow, but you are in these dungeons. They're all the same. They're all the same look, just slightly configured differently, and so you're going to go hit so many dead ends. There's only like two chests throughout the entire cave. And so if you don't have a map, it's not like you're being rewarded for exploring. You're hitting dead ends or going long distances for no reason or missing treasure chests. The treasure chests aren't even that important. They just have
escape pipes,
monomates, escapipes, and antidotes. Which I need someone else to talk about poison because I'm not going to do it.
Oh, well, I was going to say, at least we can talk about the only redeeming quality of the gameplay, and that's the poison mechanic.
I really wanted Dustin to do it. I wanted to see how salty
I'm not,
he was.
Go ahead, watch the video. I'm not going to do it.
Here's the deal. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, okay. You know
Kenny,
you're
I don't,
tripping.
I've never been like mad at you in an episode.
Yes, you have.
And not mad, like I've been in disbelief or I thought you're Kenny, this will be a thing that causes me to get angry. So take it back and then go ahead and talk about
it. Okay, I'll go back and I know because people talked about it that it was a big thing for you, but I didn't watch how frustrating it was for you. I didn't see your first play this week. I'll go back and see. I kind of stumbled into the solution for the whole poison thing, and so it didn't bother me nearly as much as it did for you.
So the reason it sucks so bad and the reason that Dustin is speechless and actually mad at Kenny right now is, okay, you get poisoned a lot. So, but
here, every other battle,
you can't, okay, every enemy's I should have saved poison. That part. So poison in this game doesn't mean you take damage over time. It's not a dot.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. It's not that bad. But what it does do is prevents you from healing your characters. Don't worry. You can go to ends and also not get healed there from poison and you're still poisoned. And it literally happens every other battle.
Oh, well, Nolan, is there just like a magic, a technique that is able to take it away?
Oh yeah, of course not.
Oh, okay. So there is like that girl that you get, Ren. That's not her name. That's a robot you get later. Whatever Miu. Her name is,
Miu.
Miu. She's got a technique, a magic in this game. Techniques.
What's
magic.
The percentage that it'll work? 100?
Like I don't other know, games? But it's like 33%. You can. You're so limited on your MP. It's probably not what it's called. It's probably
TP.
Tech points or whatever.
It's TP.
Toilet paper. And you are so limited. You only have like 20 or 18, and it costs like 6 to use her antidote technique, and it's only got like a 30% rate of success. And so you can use it all the way up and not take away poison.
So how do you get rid of poison?
You use an antidote
That you have to buy from a store, and right. It works 100% of the time, but you have to fill up your limited inventory space. Each character only has like, what, 6-10 different inventory slots? It just depends. Rice has a little bit more than others, I think. But your armor takes up some of the inventory spots, and your healing potions, and your escapipes, and so you can't, so you can only have TP. So many limited antidotes, and Kenny knows that this is a terrible game mechanic, and yet he's still arguing that poison
he's
is a good
pulled
thing
back
that
from the mic
likes.
Now he's gone, he left
okay,
the room
so here's it really rubbed us in the wrong way. Here's how it worked as I was playing the game.
Did it rub you the right way?
It didn't. I ran around, I took some damage, and then I healed in the inn, and then I went around and was fighting again and got poisoned, and it seemed like nothing happened. Okay, well, that was weird. And then I go back to the inn to heal, and oh, I'm not healing. Well, that's strange. The only unique thing that has happened to me is me being poisoned. I'd bet that means I have to do something about my poison to get healed. So I went and bought an antidote and then went back to the inn and it worked.
But then you go back out and got poisoned again.
I feel like you guys must have been running around with naked characters or something. I got poisoned occasionally, but not enough for it to be obnoxious.
Like, I looked it up. Like, half of the enemies in this game can inflict poison. That is not balanced at all.
Like, there's lots of enemies that can. And I agree, when there's an annoying mechanic in a game, you want to like just avoid those enemies altogether. I get that. I've done that in a lot of other games. But I didn't feel like many of them did, at least as I was playing through, enough for it to feel super burdensome. Like, it's not a great mechanic, but I don't think it's like the worst thing that we've ever seen in a video game.
Dustin's so
it's
mad at you right now.
It's the worst thing that we've ever seen. It's not, I mean, not maybe not the worst thing ever seen in a video game, but it's a very bad thing, and it's a thing that was a constant annoyance. And Kenny, you were using save states, correct?
Yeah.
Imagine playing this game without save states, whether it is having to finagle your way out of poison, or if it's having to traverse the world map, or it's having to traverse successfully and correctly a dungeon, or any of these things. I would have given up within the first hour.
Maybe it's because I don't mind slower paced games. And
yes,
I like
you play Dragon. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I like embrace the grind, or maybe it's because I've played similarly paced kinds of games to kind of know what to expect. But I just kind of went into that mode of like, oh, I'm going to have to buy a whole bunch of healing potions before I go out if I'm going to wander far from this town, or I'm going to have to grind here and overlevel a little bit. And so it's not great, but I feel like it's kind of par for the course for this era of games to some degree. Like, there's exceptionally better games that came out in this same era.
I would
very
argue
close,
they were behind the times on that.
Yeah, but it's not Kenny, like it's not like it's terrible.
I'll give you you have an affinity for this, or
a patience.
Or the antidote for this, that because you played some of these games, like it is very reminiscent of like Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior in some regards, these early RPGs that are very grindy, and that you, it, when you get in that mindset, you can do it and you can go hours of just fighting the same monster over and over again.
Especially when I don't even have to do anything, just hit auto fight, which is
so right. Yeah, this game right. was made for you.
But Kenny, you say that some of these things are forgivable or some of these things other games have done. Can you at least kind of tell me about the world map, the in-game world map, and how good that one is?
Okay, like there's some design things that aren't great, and in general,
no, go ahead and defend this world map if you would, the monitor if you will.
I still think out of the context monitor. I don't know, I feel like if you were playing this game in 1991, all right, you would be enjoying yourself.
No, he's refusing to do it. You get an item early on called the monitor. You're like, what does this do? I can't use it because you're in town. You go out onto the world map. You can use the monitor. Praise God. It's an overworld map. That's incredible. It is these three small circles of three different worlds with a little bit of pixels on both.
And you can't tell where... Yeah. Right.
You can't tell where a town is. It is the smallest thing on the screen. It is the jokiest joke I've ever seen of a world map.
I mean, it's not
I didn't
good.
Use it. I mean, it's not useful at all. It's just
Kenny's
like a blob.
Getting the world map as a tattoo, and barely anybody's going to be able to see
three
it.
Three big circles.
I'm getting the wind-up icon, the just auto-fight for me.
But the one-round one, so you'll have a one there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, we did that. I did the first play this week. I even played some live stream, and our Discord friend, what is it? Michaelism? That's
Michaelis.
Michaelis M watched the live stream, and he tracked the story, and he gave a nice summary of what it was so far. Y'all ready for this?
Yes, yeah. Please.
The story so far, he wrote, has been: I'm getting married. Someone stole my bride. I need to save her. I need a cyborg to get on a boat, ? I got a sapphire, ? Sapphire opens access to a cave, ? And then that's as far as I'd gotten. If he was following even past that, he would know that then I'm like going to these different planets or worlds, and I'm... What about that girl? She was waiting there at the cave. Miyu was waiting at the cave for 1,000 years, did she say?
Yeah, I rolled my eyes at that so
I thought I misread
hard.
That.
She's been waiting for us to come up there for 1,000 years. And she, do you know that she doesn't show up unless you talk to a townsperson?
So
for
what
real?
Happens instead?
This is another thing that Kenny's probably going to defend. In these early games, to get any kind of understanding of what's going on or where you need to go, you got to talk to townspeople, right?
Yeah, that's normal.
Okay, yeah, that's normal. You got to be able to build out the story. Four I get hints. It during that time. Not my favorite, but you got to do that. But in this game, if you don't, then you can't the progress the game because that girl doesn't show up.
Oh,
that's
just
pretty bad. Okay. I'll give you that. That's pretty terrible.
Oof. Oh, so you don't give me poison. You don't give me this world map, but you'll give me, you got to talk to people.
Yes.
Aged.
Okay, Dustin, as we talk about how this game aged, you already have whined about a number of things.
I don't know about wine.
You've whined, and you've whined about how some of the game looks and how some different things that bug you, and I thought I would take my turn to whine.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Because antidote isn't what bugged me about this game. World maps aren't what bugged me about this game. In fact, a lot of the gameplay stuff I seemed to not have nearly as terrible a time with as you did. There is one thing about this game that drove me absolutely crazy. Those clouds.
What
is he even talking about?
I did not expect that word to come out of your mouth.
Wait, but like clouds, hold on. Before he even says, what do you think he's talking about?
Did you guys not notice how obnoxious the clouds were?
No, there is something way more obnoxious about the battles.
No, there's not. It's the worst animation I've ever seen. So, like, in in fights,
I don't know.
The overworld.
Do we let him talk?
Yeah, let him talk. I just got to hear this.
There's clouds, and it's a really terrible, really repetitive animation that's trying to go for depth, and it's just one, like, wiggle all the way across that's white, but then, like, 8 layers of it, and it repeats itself, and it's a really, really, really poorly done animation, and it drove me crazy.
Okay, so Kenny had Cloud Strife this week. I
nice.
Really have something to talk about with the battles, though.
Before you do, do you understand how small the clouds are compared to everything else in this game?
I have to go back and watch because I have no idea what he's talking about.
Right. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Oh, wait, I see him now.
It finally connected, but that is the smallest thing in this entire game.
You know
game.
How sometimes you have like an itch and you gotta scratch it and it drives you crazy? That was only thing about this game that I like overtly hated.
Nolan, your turn.
Yeah, so you start a battle and...
I've never asked Tom to do this before, but Tom, will you please just for a few seconds grab, yes, I really need people to hear this. It is the worst battle music that I've ever heard in my life. And they didn't even stick with one. They've got like three or four different kinds of tracks that play during the battle. But before you choose what you're going to do and set it to an auto battle, it's got the worst, most redundant.
On loop.
Nolan did really good at it right there. Thanks. But take just a couple of seconds and listen to it right now.
You should now also go pause the episode and watch Dustin's reaction in the first play. Look at his face after the first battle, because not only was the music appalling to him, the text speed was so fast because he put it on 9 that when he hit auto attack, it like went and it was over and he was shocked.
Yes, the music is awful in the first play. Actually, go pause and watch me do that first battle real quick. And welcome back. I am appalled by so many things in the first battle, and then the music hits my ears, and I just have to sit and wonder, is this the real life? I promise you, the first entire play, I thought that it might have been, you know how we played a few games that have been released in Japan but never made it over here, and so some fans did like a port? You know, had to redo for English translation. They had to redo the menu and they had to redo some of the text. I thought that's what had happened.
Nope. That's just,
I really did. Yeah. And so at the end of the first play, I'm like, hey, if I find out this week that this was a fan port, then I'll go back and do a real first play. I'm sorry if that's the case. I was being genuine with that.
Right.
And it's not.
No, you'll never have to do that because this is literally real life. Now, I guess we need to quickly address the graphics. They're poo. Real poo, like the clouds. No, I mean, listen. But also, what got to me, the enemies are the most random bunch of
nonsensical
sprites. One of them is a wolf person standing on his two front legs with his butt in the air, but his back legs are hands.
One of them is a giant's crotch, and another is like this big face mask.
Yeah, when it wiggled its ears at me the first time.
Yes, yes.
I almost lost it. It was the worst thing.
Okay, here's the thing. I will say this. I'll give it credit here. I think that like those things look interesting. That's where they spent the most of their time creating these monstrosities of enemies to be able to fight. But they're so random. They're so all over the place. There's this dragon bat hanging upside down that you have to fight next to chirpy birds. It's the most insane hodgepodge. I'm going near speechless.
The names of these things also, they're not just like mashed up enemies that are then weirdly portrayed to, you know, this game sort of graphic format that's confusing. They gave them the weirdest names in the whole world too. It's like somebody was playing bingo and just like auto-generating names with a randomizer instead of anything that made any kind of sense at all.
I do want to say one good thing about, we usually talk about graphics and music here. We've talked about the battle music. I'm serious on this. This is actually a good thing. One of the coolest things to me in the entire game, one of the only cool things in the entire game, is that the kind of overworld music changes with each new party member gained. It's kind of like you might not notice it if you're not paying attention or don't play for an extended period of time, but it's one of the coolest things because the overworld music is not bad. When you just have one character, it's pleasant. When you have a second character, it's still the same track, but a new layer is added onto the existing track.
It's actually a really, really cool concept.
When you get a third character, another bit is added, and a fourth character, another bit is added, and it builds out this really pretty, and I absolutely love that because I don't know of another game that does that, and I think it's super creative. But the game sucks.
Yeah, I don't even know if I can back you up on it. It was unique, but I thought the normal music wasn't even worth it. Like, it wasn't that good to me.
Here at the end of Aged, let me say, because a lot of people that know the series have regretted that the randomizer pulled Phantasy Star 3 first for us on this podcast, rather than 1, 2, or even 4. They're sad that 3 was the first one that came out. If you are interested in this at all, like some of this Phantasy Star, sci-fi, fantasy-related things, then I would encourage you, try one of the other ones first. If you want to eventually come to 3, do that. Mm. But play 1, 2, or 4 before 3, and I think that you might have an easier entrance into the series than we did this week.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. My throat is kind of sore from yelling at you guys, but it requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. Don't make me yell anymore. Nolan, start us off.
I love the generations idea. We didn't talk about it much because I don't think we got to that in our week's time with the game. But the whole, like, marry a character, choose who you're going to marry, then the next generation is the next part of the game, and then you marry again, and then there's a third part. I love that concept, and I think it was pretty cool that they did it in 1990 when this game came out. So, like, I love that. Fire Emblem did that with a game later on, like on the DS, 3DS. So I love that concept. Everything else about the game, as you've heard, is so hilariously bad that they botched what would have been a brilliant idea. And honestly, I don't even know if I blame the developers or what, because apparently some of the main people in the Phantasy Star series that developed these games got called to work on Sonic because I think they were trying to be like, we have to compete with Nintendo. We need a character. So they pulled them, and it shows. This game was a third complete when it was released. So no New Game Plus.
All right. That's one no. Kenny, follow it up with whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's pretty clear where you're going to land, so I actually have a little bit of liberty here, which is great. And I'm going to take it. It's a cop-out because I know ultimately the game's not going to get New Game Plus, and there's a good chance it doesn't deserve it. But RPGs from this era are fun. I think for when it came out, it probably was a very enjoyable game. Yes, it's got some aging issues playing it today in terms of UI and some of the choices they made. Yeah, they did some silly things with creatures and some kind of nonsensical things. But a lot of it's straight RPG fantasy. And yeah, it got a little bit ridiculous, but you jump in, and if you can embrace the grind and suspend disbelief and just play the story and be okay with it, I think you're going to get out of it what these kind of games were trying to get you to get out of it. And so I had some fun with it this week. I rolled my eyes quite a bit, but I enjoyed myself and didn't hate it nearly as much as you guys do. And so, I don't know, for a sense of drama or just to be antagonistic, and mostly because I legitimately had a fun time playing this flawed game, I'm going to go ahead and say it's New Game Plus for me.
I'm going to beat you with an escapipe.
By the way, escapipe is really, I think, escape pipe. And we didn't even talk about that. But the way that items are named in this game doesn't give you any kind of understanding.
It's really bad. You got to just figure out what stuff does.
Yeah. Okay. So I gave this game a hard time in this episode, but really, thinking back, I didn't come in thinking I was going to give it the hardest time. I think Kenny got me all riled up with the whole like poison thing, and hopefully I was more angry at him than I was at the game. Hopefully that came through in the recording of this episode. If not, please forgive me.
It did not.
I was disgusted in the first 30 minutes, horrified in the first hour, but some of that started to subside over throughout the week. This was a weird feeling that this week, as I continued to play, I started to enjoy it more and more as I got more party members, as the bad story began to unfold some more, as I began to buy some items, as there were a few twists and turns, some more techniques started to come into play. I enjoyed it more than where I started. However, it's not a good game.
No.
They went so, like, from my understanding, Phantasy Star 2 did a lot of things really well in the JRPG genre, and then Phantasy Star 3 tried to do this other thing, and I think it goes back to something Nolan said at the beginning. I think they had limited development time here, and it shows. It's a poor attempt at a JRPG. They got all the elements in there, but they did all the elements poorly. Music is kind of where it does a little bit better in, but then you go into battles, and that is the worst battle sequence I've ever seen in my life. From the enemies to the interface to the music, I promise you, this is not hyperbole or anything like that. It's really the worst battle, like, fight thing that I've ever had in any kind of video game. That alone, along with the poor story and the undeveloped characters and the copy-paste towns and everything else, this game most certainly does not get New Game Plus status from me, which means that Phantasy Star 3 Generations of Doom is not New Game Plus certified.
Yay, worst clouds.
Yeah, I'm just, for the cloud's sake, I'm glad it didn't, because they're the worst thing.
We did get a few viewers write in about the clouds. 1981 PATX on YouTube actually wrote and wanted his commentary to be featured on the episode. He said, "It's one of the most overrated, grindiest, visually and story-wise boring RPGs I have ever played."
Ooh,
that's a strong sentence.
Spice.
"Without the use of an emulator and fast forward, I would have given up after 2, maybe 3 hours tops. The premise, aka continue playing with the next generation, always intrigued me, but was such a disappointing letdown in the end. Not worth the effort at all. This game holds Doom in its title for a reason." Rykon wrote in via our website. He was the first one to use our little submission thing there. Wrote in saying, playing Phantasy Star 3 was like ordering from a subpar New York deli.
Can't relate.
This is actually really good. Okay, next order. What do you want? RPG? Okay, one RPG coming up. Let me do my New York accent.
Okay.
First, you got your story.
Oh, Bride gets captured. Stop. What? Stop.
Bride gets captured by dragon monster. Boom. Okay, next. Got your towns. Good towns with all the shops. That's great. And dungeons? Big maze rooms with nothing but the occasional chest. All right. And, oh, you like combat? Of course you do. Everyone loves combat. Lots and lots of interrupting combat. There you go. One RPG. Enjoy. Next.
Yes.
In the end, that's you get good. The RPG you ordered. You can't say it's not an RPG, but it's not an RPG you want to sink your teeth into. I didn't full on hate Phantasy Star 3. Something about the gameplay rhythm after a while felt okay, and I kind of liked the music, but ultimately when I die and know I had to go back to my save and start back in town and go through that sequence again, my shoulders would slump and I'd audibly sigh. Never want that out of a video game, retro or otherwise. No New Game Plus for me.
Best commentary ever.
I'll agree with what he's trying to say. Though, I gotta say, you can't call it a New York deli, because this game lacked meat.
Moving on, Faithful Antonin wrote in and said, "You know what really grinds my gears? Being poisoned." Well, not Kenny's, apparently. "I can't wait to hear all of the comparisons to Dragon Warrior, especially from Kenny. This game feels super grindy, but not in a bad way. There's this grind rhythm to it, and it feels pretty good. I can't overstate how helpful the villagers are in telling you where to go and what to watch out for. If I got stuck, I'd just talk to everyone. I'm going to make a weird comparison to Stardew Valley. Both games require little direct attention, but both give you tangible progress for your time. I mentioned this in the Game of the Week channel, but I honestly think I'd love this game if it was the only game I had for my console. I hope that makes sense. There are plenty of games I'd rather play, but had I been in the early 90s and had a Sega and this was my only RPG, I'd enjoy it and would play it all the time."
Hey, guys, if I was stuck on a desert island and all there was to eat is rotten coconut, I'd probably get pretty hungry thinking about it.
After all your defense of this game, you compare it to a rotten coconut?
Oh, no. What I'm saying is I'm glad that Antonin's mostly in the same camp as I am and not hating it, but the analogy of, like, if it was the only game I had to play, I'd probably enjoy it is not actually any kind of credit to it at all. It's backhanded, like, diss, and I don't know. I like what he's saying. I don't like the metaphor.
Well, listen, thank you guys for writing in. There's so many ways to send in your commentary. You can email ngppodcast@gmail.com. There's a commentary channel on our Discord, and now on our website, ngppodcast.com, there's a submission section there as well. Send in your thoughts on the retro game of the week. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of our show next week. But for now, thank God, we're putting away Kenny's favorite game, and we're going to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. It's out of our great retro master list, over 1,000 games, 15 years old or older, any console, any genre. We're going to find out what game our randomizer selects for us now. We're staying in the same era. Going to 1991 for the NES. It's a scrolling shooter based on a Disney television series.
What?
Okay.
The plot sees Baloo and Kit delivering cargo for Rebecca Cunningham.
No.
Shere Khan hires the air pirates led by Don Carnage and tries to attempt their business. We're playing Disney's Tailspin.
Man, this TV show was my jam growing up.
Really?
Hey, this is another one developed and published by Capcom. I think it's right along the lines of, what did we play? DuckTales and the Rescue Rangers. I think it's all right up in there.
Right,
interesting.
Right.
Yeah. So, listen, find a copy of Tailspin this week, boot up the television show, play on the NES with us. And we love you long time.
Join us in Discord this week. Our community is great and it can always grow. So go to Twitter and click on the Discord link there. Or better yet, as we've mentioned, we have a new website and you can also visit that site and get an invite link there. So there's a big old button that says join Discord. Go to the site, check it out, ngppodcast.com.
We also need your help this week. If you are a supporter of the show on patreon.com, we would love for you to make sure you log in to that website and help us out with a little bit of a poll. As the new web presence is going up, we want to refactor some of our like recommendations for people just getting into the show. And so we are re-rolling a brand new NGP top 10 list. So we want your opinions on what episodes you think are worth pointing out in our top 10. Maybe they're the funniest, maybe they're the best game, maybe they're the worst game, maybe we just disagreed in a hilarious way. I don't know. You tell us, but we can't pick out of 170 something on our own, and so we really need your input. So hop on patreon.com, submit your vote. If you're not a patron yet, this is a great time to have some influence on which episodes we highlight. Hop on there, decide to support us at a level that you're comfortable with, and we'd really appreciate it. Also want to give a big shout out to our producer level supporters of the show, Alex, Bill, Dear Baby, Michael, and Zion. You guys are the best.
As always, you can follow us on our social media, but you know what? Just go to ngppodcast.com and you'll be so able to find all of our links there. As well as Twitch and YouTube. You can find us on Twitch at NGP Podcast, YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. We stream regularly and have video content up for you often. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. We've got to thank Tom Tate for editing and producing this ridiculous episode. Join us next week as we play Tailspin. Until then, I'm still poisoned.
I'm Kenny.
Anybody got an antidote?
And this has been a cloud-filled episode of New Game Plus.